The Lyric Concert with Paul Herriot.
I'm not afraid to let you know who I am.
I think it's an enlightenment for us to realise that we can actually put something together, because most of us would have believed at this stage of our lives that was over us.
Paul Carey, bass singer with the Move for Parkinson's Voices of Hope Choir.
And I'm 74 and I would have thought singing with a choir was the last thing I'd be doing at this stage of my life, you know.
A choir for people with Parkinson's and their family and friends.
I think years ago we used to call it the designer disease, because each one of us have a different symptom from it. We each one of us react differently to it. Never had two people at the same stage at the one time. When you go into a crowd of people and you're shaking and you're stuttering, you're stammering, and it makes you, whether people judge you or not, I don't know, but I feel I'm out of place. Whereas when I go on Thursday night to the choir, does nobody even notice I shake? Does nobody would comment one way or the other? Unless you said, the mouth might shake much, and they might say, ah, yeah. So it really is. It's a great release for us.
We'll find strength and courage to try.
I think people come and they hear a Parkinson's choir, they come out of sympathy sometimes, and they don't know what to expect. And I think they're blown away by what they get. Sorry if I'm building us up too much, folks, but I really do believe it, that we make a great sound.
The drumming and the dancing take away the pain and lead us to a new
dawn. Variegated laurel, little evergreens. I have a bay, little bay tree over there. I have a rose bush, some fuchsia.
Liam McMahona is working away in his sunny garden in Tempelhog. It's sheltered from the busy sounds of Dublin City.
As you can see, I have some rhubarb growing up there now, and I have one apple tree which I've pruned, and I get a terrific amount of rhubarb and a terrific amount of apples, and we give them off to our friends. We're baking rhubarb tarts and apples.
I often bring the apples to the choir and give them to people in the choir, and that, you know. So, anyway.
That's Liam's wife, Anne. Wandering into the house, we settle into the cosy sitting room. Glass doors lead into the kitchen, where a pot of tea is on the boil.
I was observing him at breakfast time one morning, and I said to him, "Have you got a shake in your hand, Liam?" And he said to me, "Asher, my father had a shake." And then I was watching him, and after a few times, anyway, I said to him, "Would you not mention that to the GP when you go?" And he said, "I might." Anyway, he did go to the GP, and he did some little prodding or testing on him, and he said, "I think you're fine."
But Liam knew that he was not fine. Eventually, the diagnosis was Parkinson's.
Stand if you're able and willing, or unwilling and able, that's okay too.
I didn't go into depression or anything like that. I just said, well, that's life, and that's one of the things that happens. I
probably was more anxious than you. You're a kind of more even-tempered person. I'd be anxious about things, and I was anxious about you. And my sister was in a nursing home, and I went to visit her one day, and I saw this man there. He was being pushed in a wheelchair, and they were having a social day. I recognised his sister, and she said to me, "You don't recognise Edward?" And I said, "Oh." And I said, "Hello." And I said to her, did he have a stroke? And she said, "No, he has Parkinson's." And it was like as somebody hit me with a mallet. And you were outside in the car at the time, and I said, my niece was there, and I said to her, "When Liam comes in, I don't want him to see this man." You know, I had visions that Liam would become not able to walk and be in a wheelchair and things like that. But please God, it won't happen, Liam. But of course, I was anxious about that.
Like, Parkinson's, unfortunately, is progressive, it's degenerative, and it's incurable. So, I mean, they all sound awfully, awfully negative.
And breathing in and out, and out.
People lose sense of smell.
And in.
Their voice deteriorates, their sense of able to swallow. Or begin to lose their balance. They can't turn and twist very well. Some people get what's called freezing. In other words, if they're walking, suddenly it's difficult for them to get started, or maybe to go through a doorway. And then we learn all sorts of little tricks, you know, by counting or whatever to get to, if that happens.
In for 6, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Liam and Anne are determined to learn as much as they can about Parkinson's. Stumbling upon the Voices of Hope choir has opened up a whole new network of support.
That was a major thing in our, for me anyway, because now we had enjoyment and we had people to talk to, and we've met so many different friends, and that it's just wonderful. And I think, see, if you're doing something that you enjoy, then anxiety leaves you.
I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a
I just didn't want Parkinson's to define me. I mean, more than a person with grey hair or black hair or blue eyes or brown eyes, I just didn't want to be defined by anybody as this person with Parkinson's. So I just pretty much carried on my life as before. And I think I'm still pretty much doing that,
yes.
Other than we have joined these activities and find them very, very helpful. The choir especially, because it improves our voices or keeps our voice level, which is a great problem with Parkinson's people, because all our voices become softer. So the singing and loud voice and that is very good for that.
All I want is to sing it out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask it all honestly. What would that be?
Car ferry, the Stena line coming in from Holyhead. See, just there, front of the old swimming baths now. They come out the other side. Used to swim there when I was a child.
Sheila Gray is breathing in the sea air in Dunleary, County Dublin. She walks closely beside her husband Donald, who has Parkinson's. Heading to the choir rehearsal with their daughter Kate, there's much anticipation for the afternoon ahead.
You'll see 3 or 4 rows of chairs.
You'll see the men up the front.
I was moved up from the back to the front.
All the men were moved to the front recently because she felt they weren't singing
the best of their ability down the back.
And it has improved them.
We're heading into the parochial hall to have another session of learning how to sing.
When tears are in your eyes, I will dry them.
It's been a long road to here.
Well, it all began for our family in April 2013 when Dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He had a disease that they said was incurable, degenerative and progressive. And I'd only ever met one person with Parkinson's in my life, and he was wheelchair bound and not able to speak. I guess that's what I pictured for my dad.
Donald rallies quietly against the enormity of what the future may hold. 1 foot in front of the other, into the rehearsal.
Well, I think I was sort of shell-shocked to hear that I had Parkinson's. But I've come to accept it.
Sheila puts her hand on her husband Donald's shoulder. Protective and supportive.
People with Parkinson's tend to move back into their shells. They go forward.
This is exactly what Donald's daughter, Kate, fears. The apathy and depression that can be a side effect of Parkinson's.
He's got to fight this. There's no point in sitting at home moping or, as he said to me the other week, becoming a recluse. You've got to... It's his life. He's got to live it. He's got to be out there. He's got to... We don't want to lose him. We want him for the next 15 or 20 years. So we've got to do everything that we can do to support him.
So when Kate came across the Move for Parkinson's choir on TV, she was relieved and thrilled. At last, a positive approach to Parkinson's. But convincing her parents to join was not so easy.
I think for me, I felt like I was the parent on the first day because I remember driving up that night and neither mum nor dad spoke the whole way up in the car. And we walked into the room and I thought, what have I done? And I know that Mags, the founder, came over and asked Dad, did he like singing? And Dad broke down crying. It's been the best thing that's happened to our family around Parkinson's and the diagnosis.
Since the onset of the Parkinson, I have found it easier to sing rather than to speak. It's another side effect of Parkinson, that you think you're talking loud enough to people and the person is struggling to hear you and understand the conversation. But it's very important to continue to speak and to raise your voice.
Well, how are we all today?
Inside the rehearsal, there's an air of familiarity as everyone gets into place. It looks just like any other choir. The differences are subtle. The shake of a music sheet gripped tightly in a hand. Or the few singers who remain seated as the others stand up.
On the 9th of January 2004 at 20 minutes past 3 in the afternoon, I heard a neurologist say you're in the early stages of Parkinson's.
Mags Malarney is a member of the choir, but also the unassuming founder of Move for Parkinson's.
I thought I was too young to have it. I was 47 and I thought everybody shook and I didn't have a shake, so I couldn't understand why I was being diagnosed with it. So it was devastating, absolutely devastating.
That devastation was made no easier by the frustration Mags had in trying to find advice on how to live with Parkinson's.
People feel, well, it's an older person's disease, therefore they're sitting by the fire shaking and we can just leave them. And that's not okay. You know, there's lots of people with Parkinson's who are younger. There's also lots of people with Parkinson's who are older, who have lots to give in society, as you can see from the choir that we have. And I just felt, for me, I had no purpose. If that's all I was doing was actually just going to sit and feel sorry for myself, I had no purpose. So I had to find that purpose and I had to dig really deep.
Mag's purpose became living as best she could with Parkinson's. And she made some important discoveries.
If you exercised, that your symptoms became not as severe. If you actually shared what was going on for you, it was easier to actually manage it.
These discoveries led to the foundation of Move for Parkinson's, as Mag strived to share her new knowledge with other people with Parkinson's. And before long, the Move for Parkinson's Voices of Hope Choir had been formed.
We can do speech and language courses and they're really important. They have them for people with Parkinson's. But to go and continue on, to keep singing and coming to a choir, well, it's a hell of a lot more fun than doing speech and language therapy.
Our warm-up is created specifically for people with Parkinson's.
Jennifer Grundullis is choir director.
We pick a number and you have to clap that number instead of sing that number. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1. So that you actually have to stop singing, clap, and then start singing again. So it's really difficult.
A little bit faster. One, two, three.
So that's helping to stretch your range as well as helping your brains.
Paul Carey is on his feet, his face full of concentration.
Parkinson's is mainly when you're at rest. So if I'm resting, it's when my tremor starts. But when I'm up singing or doing anything with movement, my Parkinson's tends to stop. And that's general with Parkinson's. So when we're up singing or moving or doing something, we're at our best.
You don't have milk, do you? You have a black. Somebody else takes
too. The tea break.
You're a black. Oh,
chocolate biscuits and a cuppa. Singers break out into small groups of two or three, deep in conversation, squeezing a week of news into 20 minutes.
There you go. Enjoy your dog.
Trish Dodd has taken her cup of tea outside. She and her husband Derek sing in the choir each week. their lives changed forever one day, 6 years ago.
I always say we were diagnosed because he's the one with the Parkinson's. It affects us as a couple, and of course it affects our whole family. But most of all me, who lives with him and sees him changing and has gradually realised this is a caring role as well as a wifely role.
Trish's changing role as a carer has brought responsibilities, fears and stresses.
It's a little bit of a lonely place being the carer, because with the best will in the world and beautifully, people ask all the time, how is he, how's he doing? And something inside you is screaming, well, what about me? It affects me too. And then you deal with that self-pity bit and you get on with it, you know. When he was diagnosed, I decided I needed to get stronger, get fitter, and lose a stone of weight. So I started working on that, and I did. And then last year, out of the blue, I fractured my knee. I didn't fall, I just stood up and my leg buckled. And it just was a complete impacting event to where I thought, okay, here I was going to be strong, and now I just stand up and I fracture my knee. And I was immobilised for 12 weeks, and it was a nightmare for him. And that showed me as well how slowly but surely there's a dependency on me, and I need to be able to be strong, but if I'm not, then that's the anxiety.
Trish knew that if she felt like this, others must too, and that those feelings of anxiety might be a little easier to bear when shared.
So out of the group of ladies that I met in the choir, I got them together one afternoon over a cup of tea and said, would it be a good idea to form a group and share our experiences but also share our resources, because we all have knowledge that we've learnt, but maybe the other person hasn't. And it's only for the carers, it's not for the person with Parkinson's, because we need a place where we can talk without making our loved one feel like they're a case or that we're saying anything negative. We're sharing our feelings and we're sharing our experiences because we need to be able to talk, but it's not to be putting them down in any way.
Sail on silver.
I often say we walk down the hill grumpily on a Monday evening, you know, oh, do we really want to go out tonight? And we dance back up.
I find that Parkinson's is really gets you down, and I became depressed, and I quit my job as early as I could. I gave up most of my friends and I sat at home for nearly 6 years. I heard about this lady who was starting up this group. And it's one of the happiest things that ever happened to you. It'll always lift your spirits. It'll always give you joy. It's a place you can go and not feel out of place, not feel judged, and to even feel loved in it. And that's the truth of it.
You've been listening to Sing, a celebration of the power of community and making music together. Sing is funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee and is a Grey Heron Media production for RTE Lyric FM. Sing is presented and produced by Mary MacDonnell. Gail Henry was the commissioning editor for RTE Lyric FM. Choir rehearsal and performance recordings were made by Dermot McIntyre and Daniel Clancy. The series was directed by Dermot McIntyre.
The Lyric Concert with Paul Herriot.